In our current message series on Jesus' words, known as the Beatitudes, this week we come to Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And here we can read a few more verses that teach us about God's mercy and God's call to being merciful. As Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The good news is that, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 45, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Therefore, as the Apostle Paul urges us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Our set of Bible verses on mercy concludes with Luke chapter 6, verse 36, in Jesus' words, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. These are God's words for God's people.
Thanks be to God. And yes, we have been with our message series on the words of Jesus, known as Beatitude. So how have you been enjoying this series? If you have missed any sermon in this series, please check out our Facebook page for video, or check out our website for sermon audios. Because the Beatitude is something that we feel like in our throat. It's something that maybe during our lifetime as a Christian, we wanted to give more thoughts and time for study too. So this is what we are doing now. And please stay on this course with us, with me, to complete this, which will come at the end of this month. Today, as we kind of look back over the four Beatitudes we have been kind of taking a look at, so let's acknowledge at our first reading of those Beatitudes, we feel like, okay, our heads are tilting to one side and to another, because it's hard to understand what Jesus really means to say. What? Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the meek. Such are not considered as a blessing right here. So, and the reason why we put this together in our thoughts in this time of year is because we wish you a happy year, happy new year. And in Latin word for beatitude, which is beatus, means both happy and blessed. So in that way, let's make this year a year of a beatitude, true happiness and blessedness, with our time to take a look at the meaning of the beatitude. Last Sunday, the fourth beatitude, which we take a look at, very briefly again today, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That provides us with more clarity to the meanings of the first three Beatitudes. Though probably these three are not characteristics of an overflowing fullness that we want for our life here, they are beautiful and proper in their right place, which is at our hunger and thirst for the fourth Beatitude, righteousness. Righteousness, not the world's approval of being right by worldly measure or by the total sum of happiness, like the idea of utilitarianism. But here, this beatitude, the hunger and thirst for righteousness, makes these first three beatitudes sense. Blessed are we, yes, as we are poverty-stricken in spirit, grieving over the brokenness of our humanity, accepting the humbleness of our being, because our emptiness enables us to long for what is right, what is truly right in all places and at all times. This way, our emptiness enables us to long for the one who was and who is and who will be having existence above all and in all. In short, God is our righteousness that we long for. Thus, we long for a freely enjoyed and fully lived life in relationship with God. Then now come three descriptions of how the righteousness of God abounds in the heart of those who long for Him in mercy, in purity, and in peacemaking. This way, I just to try to picture in your mind the structure of this whole beatitude. First three beatitudes speak all about the emptiness, but the emptiness leads to longing, and longing for God, that is the fourth beatitude. And this, the one who has this longing for God will experience abounding, overflowing fullness in mercy, in purity, and in peacemaking. So here, the words of Jesus again. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. As Katie introduced us to some different verses on mercy, Scripture tells us when it comes to mercy, both the mercy of God and God's call to mercy. This is well summarized in the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Yes, God is merciful to us, and God calls us to participate in the mercy that God shows us. Then as Jesus says in the Beatitude, we will see the fruit of mercy. So that is an interesting part, which has been kind of awakened to my knowledge by Pope Francis. As he says this, the fifth beatitude is the only one in which the cause and effect of fulfillment coincide. The fruit of mercy is mercy. Blessed are those who are merciful. They will receive mercy. God's mercy fruits is here. God's mercy bears a fruit of mercy in us, then we show mercy and we receive more mercy. In showing mercy, we let others know that we are recipients of God's mercy. This way, increase mercy everywhere. Turn around and see mercy as the fruit of our mercy and the fruit of God's mercy. And that way, Pope Francis has to say, mercy is the air that we must breathe. Let mercy be everywhere we are. Actually, this whole quotes come from his book titled, The Name of God is Mercy. It has been one of my favorites with many underlines and notes written there. And I thought I could borrow much from the book for this week's message. But problem is here. Because I love the book so much that I couldn't resist sharing it with my friends. So that way, I just realized this week, this book is not in my bookshelves, but in my friends' bookshelves. Okay, but it turned out well. I called my friend to whom I have lent the book and asked for taking pictures of the pages with my underlines and notes and text me back the pictures. This way, okay, much of this sermon, I can say, is attributed to Pope Francis. Pope helps us consider the etymological root of the word mercy. It's Latin word misericordia. It derives from two words, miserere, meaning to have a pity on, compassion for. And then there's another, cor, meaning heart, genitive case, cordis, which gives way to cardio, that means of the heart. So therefore, the word mercy, misericordia, means having compassion on someone with all heart. Yes, it carries the idea from the very inmost depth of our being, our core, opening themselves, opening ourselves to the suffering of another. That's mercy. And I believe that this is who our God is. God is merciful. In other words, God feels for us, God sympathizes with us, and God gives God's heart to us. Right? God's mercy is a mercy. It's not just a superficial understanding of or pretending to understand us. No. But God deeply feels mercy for us as God gave God's heart to us. I haven't heard in any other faith tradition than Christian faith that God, the ultimate righteous being, came in human body. Do you know any other religion that speaks about this type of God? But our God came in human body, not in order to bring about judgment, but in order to share all that is involved in humanity. Joy and suffering, solitude and companionship, and all in between. So again, please let me know if you find any faith tradition that speak of God, like our God, this God of mercy. I believe that no one is like our God who came to us, because mercy is the very first attribute of our God. With the help of Pope Francis, I can turn to the story of the widow from Nain who lost her son. That story is in Luke chapter 7. Yes, when Jesus arrived in the village of Nain. So the widow who was sobbing at the loss of her son, the scripture says, his heart, here it means Jesus' heart, went out to her and he said, "Don't cry." Jesus, God incarnate, let himself be moved by human wretchedness, by our suffering, by our need. God loves us this way with compassion and just mercy. Jesus does not look at reality from the outside, crossing his arms and looking like, okay, I could do something, but only maybe taking picture of you. Not like that. He lets himself get involved. Because the name of God, the very first attribute of God, is mercy, giving heart to us. What about us? How do we respond to the one who comes to us and gives his heart to us? Okay, do we get out of our own closet, the cave of our ideas, to look around, to find out what is available, not by us, by the one who loves us? Do we have that type of attitude? Such things don't have our preference in most places. In this world where valued is self-sufficiency and independence, we are told to build and prove our capability and strengths to live and to thrive without help of others, even without help from God. That's why many people say that, hey, religion, that is needed only by weak-hearted. However, on the first Sunday in this message series, as we began with this acknowledgement, no one has a full control over their life. If we have a larger view of the world with this understanding, as Pope Francis says, this kind of compassion, meaning Jesus' compassion, is needed today to conquer the globalization of indifference. If I can add some more, to break down the myth of self-reliance, to save us from the plague of individualism. Pope continues, this kind of regard is needed when we find ourselves in front of others, in front of a poor person, in front of an outcast or a sinner. This is the compassion that nourishes the awareness that we are like them. Yes, mercy. Not a condescending, skin-deep pity. No, but a self-giving, heartfelt compassion teaches us that we are not like others. We are not like the unhappy or the sick or the destitute or the troubled, or the self-deceived. We are not like others who would call a sinner. This way, our need of mercy, then our giving of mercy, are not much different when they are understood in the light of God's mercy in which we are found. Yes, I need God. I believe you need God. I see you and find you in the light of God, and I hope you too find me in the light of God, as we are all in God's mercy. Okay, this week, being in grief, I felt that I didn't deserve calling Carla, the one that I lost to death this week, as my mentoring mother. Did I do to her what a son would do to his mother? Not much. It was her who made our connection sustain. It was her who would hold me in her prayer more than what I would do in my prayer for her. At her death, I still feel her mercy. And I realize how much my soul has been dependent on her mercy. And I now realize that she, in her soul, also needed me. At her passing, I feel my soul is connected to her soul in God, because the name of God is mercy. Having compassion on my soul and on her soul with all of God's heart, as God's heart is encompassing, I feel that connection. Last week, when Jongjin and I visited her in her hospice room, I asked her to teach me what makes a good pastor. She answered in one phrase, "The heart of the Lord." The heart of the Lord. Now, with a deeper understanding of the true definition of mercy, I realized that the heart of the Lord is God's gift, not our accomplishment, but God's gift, not just to a good pastor, but to all who long for God's mercy, long for God's heart, who want to be merciful as God is merciful. We work too much. We are too busy with much stimulation and ambitions. There are plenty of reasons not to put our life into the hand and heart of another. There are plenty of reasons not to open our heart to others suffering and need. Again, we are busy. But remember, my friend, the heart of the Lord is ours, because the name of God is mercy. So don't turn away from God's mercy. Don't turn away from God's giving of God's own heart. Otherwise, we will be callous. The more conscious we are of who we truly are, with the brokenness and dependence of human nature, the more we experience the love and infinite mercy of God among us and in us, and the more capable we are of looking upon the many wounded around us as we meet along them along the way, and we look upon them with acceptance and mercy. Okay, for year of beatitude, for year of true happiness and blessedness, let's do this. Let's not be afraid to go to God. Let's not be afraid to receive God's mercy and give mercy. Let's not be afraid to receive the heart of the Lord and give our heart to others. In doing so, may we see that mercy increase around us. May we see that mercy is everywhere as God is in us and all around us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So today we are blessed.